Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts in our 17 showrooms nationwide. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So now we go to the UK, where the party leaders are in the final legs of the campaign trail, with just 3 days to go until Britain chooses its next government. Thursday's vote looks set to be an historic night, with predictions of a record swing to Labour and some projections suggesting the Tories could fall below 100 seats, which would be near extinction level for the party. Well, I'm joined now by Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor with the Financial Times, and Professor John Tong, who's Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. But Lucy, I want to come to you first, because you're on the bus. You're on the Tory bus this morning. Where are you off to?
Well, we've just stopped off outside Stoke-on-Trent at a warehouse where Rishi Sunak will soon be addressing staff. It's the final kind of 48-hour dash of this particular battle bus with the kind of the Westminster media all aboard. Rishi Sunak, we are yet to hear from, but obviously we heard him over the weekend trying to defend the Tories' 14 years in rule in the UK and hammer home that all-important attack line to voters not to hand Labour a supermajority or a blank cheque to govern with unchecked power.
So they're trying to drum up excitement, they're trying to create interest, which is a very difficult task given that the polls haven't really changed since the start of this campaign, and they all predict a hammering for the Tories.
Well, that's right. And it's curious, isn't it? You know, the orthodoxy is that in a short campaign, when the public, you know, many of whom have busy lives and jobs, finally tune back into politics and pay more attention, that the polls begin to narrow, whatever, you know, whoever was kind of leading. But the curiosity this campaign has been that Labour's 20-odd point majority has remained rock solid. And in part, pollsters and experts think that is because the Tory campaign has lurched from crisis to crisis. But it is looking pretty dire for the Conservatives, according to the opinion polls, as they head towards polling day on Thursday.
Now, Reform UK was a disruptor in all of this, but they've had a rocky weekend. They've lost Liam Booth Isherwood, one of their candidates. He's disowned the party and is backing the local Conservative. Then you've Andrew Parker, who's a Reform UK activist and was filmed making racist comments about Rishi Sunak. So all has not gone to plan there for Reform and for Nigel Farage.
No, that's right. And my sense is perhaps we've seen peak Reform UK, peak Nigel Farage in this electoral cycle. They've slipped a couple of points in some opinion polls. And, you know, The controversies of last week around those appalling sexist and racist comments made by several figures within the party, you know, came just days after Nigel Farage himself made very controversial comments about Vladimir Putin. And so it does feel like, you know, they are being squeezed a little, including by this supermajority argument that the Tories are mounting and trying to kind of hammer home, that a vote for Reform will ultimately help Labour get into government and win an ever bigger majority. So the squeeze argument, as it's called, is very much the dominant train of argument being deployed by the Tories in these final few days.
OK, Lucy, we'll let you go. You're on the battle bus, the Tory battle bus, which is why we have the noise in the background in Stoke-on-Trent. But Professor John Tong is listening to all of that. And John, I'm sure you heard Lucy there saying that we may have seen peak Reform UK, peak Nigel Farage. Do you agree?
Yes, I do agree with Lucy. The comments of Nigel Farage didn't go down particularly well. And there is some polling evidence that Reform has reached its peak and is now ticking downwards. That's good news for the Conservatives, because there's no doubt that the reason why the Conservatives have been unable to lay a glove in what has seemed a very long campaign in terms of Labour's 20 percentage point lead is because of the growth of Reform. they were taking votes away from the Conservatives. The Conservatives can have a at least less disastrous result this Thursday if they can begin to claw back that reform vote. And I think it's very significant where Rishi Sunak has been focused in the campaign over the last few days. When he went head-to-head with Keir Starmer last week, Rishi Sunak was very, very strong on immigration, which is the top, single most important issue, both for reform voters, overwhelmingly, and for Conservative voters, albeit much less overwhelmingly. So the whole stop the votes policy and the issue of immigration, very, very big. It gets lots more mentions in the Conservative Party manifesto than it does the Labour Party manifesto. And the other big issue for Rishi Sunak is he still thinks that Labour is vulnerable on the issue of higher taxation. And so the big theme of their big head-to-head debate was about whether Labour would put up taxes or not. So it's about trying to shore up that core Conservative vote, get it out and get it back from reform. That's the Conservative strategy in these final few days of the campaign.
And I suppose the danger for Labour is, given that those polls have changed very little, voter apathy is a risk, is it not, for the Labour Party, that they don't capitalise on this swing against the Tories because people just say, well, Labour are going to win anyway, so we'll just stay away.
Yeah, I think that's one of two dangers for Labour. Not to say that Labour's going to be deprived of an overall majority. That would, you know, be a really remarkable outcome at this stage. But in terms of the size of Labour's majority, yeah, apathy is a problem. People think, well, Labour is going to win, so I can go and flirt with other parties or simply not bother voting. The second problem is that issue of turnout for Labour, because the older you are, you're still more likely you are to vote and vote Conservative. So in other words, you know, flipping that around, the younger you are, the less likely you are to go and vote. And Labour's polling lead is biggest amongst younger people, but they often don't show up. At the last seven British general elections, only a minority of 18 to 24-year-olds have voted, and turnout is not great amongst anyone under 30. So, you know, Labour can't, in that sense, take its vote for granted. It's fine responding to an opinion pollster saying, yes, I support Labour, but actually getting people to the polls. It is worth remembering, though, that about one in five people will have voted by Thursday. One in five of us vote now by post in the UK. That's gone up dramatically from 2% at the time of the last Labour landslide in 1997, because you no longer need to give a reason as to why you want the postal vote.
Now, the start of the campaign, we remember, with Rishi Sunak standing in the rain outside of Downing Street, was awful. Things didn't get much better for him after that. But then we had the leaders' debate, and certainly in the last one, most people who were polled afterwards gave it 50-50 as to who won that. So how would you rate his performance over the course of the campaign, given that his poll numbers haven't changed?
Well, Rishi Sunak had that disastrous start that you mentioned. People were absolutely baffled as to why he'd call the election when he did, given that Nigel Farage might have been out of action, concentrating on the US presidential election campaign come November, and given that Rishi Sunak's whole pitch was the economy is improving dramatically. Well, if it's improving dramatically, why go to the country now? Let those improvements take their course. He was then dogged by all sorts of chaos within the campaign. The D-Day, the early departure from the D-Day commemorations, was clearly the worst offence, and that had a lot of cut through to the electorate. And he was also plagued by issues of bets being put on the election date. And that one has rumbled on during the campaign. But in the last few days, Rishi Sunak has done a lot better. He did have that 50-50 verdict, as you say, in terms of the head-to-head with Keir Starmer. Some other people might have put him ahead. Certainly, it was a rare time that Keir Starmer has been, to some extent, discomfited during this campaign. But is it all too late? The only hope for Keir Starmer, for Rishi Sunak, sorry, is that reform implodes over the issue of some of their candidates and the comments made by Nigel Farage. I mean, the vetting of reform candidates, that party has admitted, has been suboptimal. And so all sorts of what we might most kindly describe as maverick and in some cases unsavoury and unacceptable people have been selected as reform candidates. And if the Conservatives support, which might have been flirting with the reform, thinks, you know what, that party is simply unacceptable, I will stick with the Conservatives after all, then that can turn what could be a meltdown result on a worst-case scenario for the Conservatives to one where they are still in the game and still a respectably sized opposition come Friday morning.
Yeah, what would the seat win need to be for that to happen, for the Tories to still be a force?
Well, at the moment, the range of Conservative seats is on the forecast is between 50 and 150. If they can get at the top end of that, then it's not far removed from what John Major achieved, open and close quotes, in 1997 when the Conservatives went down to 165. That's their previous worst election result. So anything that sort of approaches that is, well, yes, it's terrible, but we can recover from this. And the Conservatives were back in power within 13 years of that 1997 result. If it's down to less than 100, I mean, that is a performance beyond compare for the Conservatives, by far the worst result in their history. And the whole issue of the future of the Conservative Party would be up for grabs. There's a small section of the Conservative Party on the right who would like Nigel Farage, like to move a lot closer to Nigel Farage, even have him as their leader. On the middle and the left of the Conservative Party, they don't want anything to do with Nigel Farage. I think that's the wrong way to go, and that they think that elections can be won from the centre in the same way that Keir Starmer looks to be on course to win from the political centre in many ways. So the whole debate will be about the future of the Conservative Party, I think, come Friday, if it is a catastrophic result. It's about staying in the game, really, and avoiding a Canada-style meltdown for a party of the right. But at the moment, the right, the vote on the right in British politics is too split between the Conservatives and Reform for them to present a credible challenge to Labour at this election.
All right, John, we have only a few days to wait and see how it all plays out. That's Professor John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool.